I picked up a tile for a closer look. This one happened to be four-sided, a rhombus. A groove was molded into its surface, curving from one of its sides to another. I carried it over to the nearest vertex of the decagon and set it down. Its obtuse angle fit perfectly into the corner.
Ah,
Sewer Spry teased me.
Going straight to the most difficult problem of all, huh?
She was talking, of course, of the Teglon. She turned away and walked to the opposite vertex and set a tile down there. Meanwhile, I scavenged a few other tiles, getting samples of all seven shapes. I chose one at random and set it next to the first. This one also had a groove curving from one side to another. All of the tiles were so made. And I rotated it until its groove mated with and became a continuation of the one on the first tile. Into the angle between them, I was able to place a third. That created opportunities to slide in a fourth, a fifth, and so on. I was playing the Teglon. The objective of the game was to build the pattern outwards from one vertex and pave the entire decagon in such a way that the groove formed a continuous, unbroken curve from the first vertex to the last, the one directly opposite, where Sewer Spry had put down a tile. Along the way, the curve had to pass across every tile in the entire decagon. For the first little while, it was easy. It came naturally. But beyond a certain point, the two objectives, that of tiling the whole surface and that of keeping the curve going, began to conflict. I had to leave a stretch of groove hanging unconnected for a while, then work my way back to it, steering the groove around to make the connection. That was satisfying. But a few minutes later, I found myself with three such segments of marooned groove in different parts of the pattern, and despaired of ever finding an arrangement that would connect them all. On one level, this was all about the shape of the outer boundary and how it developed. Tiles trapped in the middle were of no further interest to the game, or so you might think. But on the other hand, the way in which an interior tile had been laid down ended up determining the location of every other tile in the whole decagon. The ancient Orathenans suspected but didn't know how to prove that the tiles of the Teglon were aperiodic, that no pattern would ever repeat. Again, solving the Teglon would have been easy. It would have been automatic, with square or triangular tiles, or any tile system that was periodic. With aperiodic tiles, it was impossible, or at least very unlikely, unless you had some godlike ability to see the whole pattern in your head at once. Metachorines had believed that the final pattern existed in the Hylian theoric world, and that the Teglon could only be solved by one who had developed the power of seeing into it. Sewer Spry was clearing her throat. I looked up. I was squatting at the edge of a system of tiles 50 feet wide. It was getting hot.
Oh, sorry, I said.
Some people use sticks to push them around. Saves wear and tear on the back.
We should probably get out of here, huh?
Soon, she allowed.
First, though, I followed her about as she showed me the remnants of the ancient buildings. All the roofs were gone, of course. Some pillars still stood, and a few courses of stone that had once been walls, now half buried in blocks that had tumbled down from above. But mostly we were looking at foundations, floors, stairs, and plazas. Active parts of the dig were gridded with string, a geometric touch a Draconis would have appreciated. The rocks were annotated with neatly brushed letters and numbers put down by diggers of centuries past. Up above, I knew, was a sort of museum where they had placed many of the artifacts they had found, including, presumably, the cast of Metachorines. I imagined that museum should be dark, nicely ventilated, and cool.
Okay, let's get out of this barbecue pit,
I proposed, and heard no argument from Sewer Spry. We had stayed later than expected, partly because it had been fascinating, but, and this probably didn't say much for my character, because this was the one thing I could do on this journey that would seem almost as cool as Jessery's space adventure. The climb out was worse than I expected. During the early part of it, I was babbling about the Teglon just like all of those geometers of yore who'd gone crazy over it. But by the end, I was just trudging. Another sluice bath was called for. I fell asleep. When I woke up, it was late afternoon. Orlo was on kitchen duty. I helped him. But we didn't really get to talk about anything. So more than one of my 3 days had been gobbled up just like that. Before we retired that evening, I warned Orlo we must speak of important things the next day. So after breakfast, the next morning, we hiked back up to the meadow.